Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Our walk with Jesus is like a garden. How many people would ever imagine setting apart a plot of ground, calling it a garden, but never tilling it, never weeding it, planting it, or watering it? Who would ever expect that somehow fruit and vegetables would miraculously come up out of the ground? No thinking person would ever consider the possibility. And yet, for some reason, we expect that the garden of our soul can be left completely untended and somehow good fruit will come up by itself. It defies reason. The garden of our heart must be worked. The ground must be tilled. The seed of the gospel must be planted. The weeds of all of our deadening distractions and entertainment must be pulled out, and it must be continually watered by prayer and the word. If these things are done, we can expect that good fruit will come out of our life. These are the things we will be covering on this week's episode of Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Last lesson, we were comparing our walk with Jesus to a garden. We talked about the need to clean up our garden by getting rid of all the junk and the pollutants. Our minds are polluted by soul-deadening distractions, which makes the gospel not take root. It's time to clean the garbage out of our life. Today is the day. If it's against the Lord, if it distracts us from God, if our entertainment is filled with violence and perversion and blasphemy, clean it out. Get rid of it. It will choke out the good seed of the gospel. We're going to continue now in our study of the book, Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. We're on chapter 26 today. Once we clean the junk out of our eyes and ears, now we're ready to start some serious planting. Now we can take on the once intimidating challenge of reading the Bible through completely by ourselves. This is very important. This is the seed of the gospel. And by reading the Bible, that is how the seed enters into the good soil of our soul. And that's a big part of the program of the Fellowship of the Unashamed, and will help you. Those who consider the Bible too hard to understand are those who simply haven't read it. Once you begin, you'll find that the Bible is clearly written and even easy to understand. God didn't want His Word to be only for scholars. He wanted everyone to be able to read it for themselves. And so it's written in a way that is easily understood. And don't take my word for it. Read it yourself. You'll be surprised at how riveting the Bible is. Get yourself a good readable translation. If you're not comfortable with these and thous, you can maybe try the New American Standard. That's a good Bible that's easy to read and is very sound in its translation. Next comes watering the garden. If you have ever had the experience of watching a field after it's been plowed and planted, it is a wonder to behold. It is just an open expanse of dirt with no life whatsoever. The first rain falls, and then the second. 3 weeks pass, during which you are doing nothing but staring at a barren wasteland. Suddenly, in what seems like one night, the field explodes with life. There is green everywhere. Sprouts and roots have been manufactured from dirt. That miracle takes place when the magic of God's water comes in contact with the soil. It is written into the laws of creation. water and sun on dirt and seeds produces growth. That thrill is the very thing you will experience when the garden of your mind begins to sprout. And so with us, water is prayer. Prayer falls like water on the seeds of our reading the Bible. When we have worked our soil and begun to plant good seed, if then we water it with prayer, life will come bursting forth. It's in God's laws. By spending time with the Lord of the harvest, we are ensured of wonderful results. Simple prayer is all it takes. You don't need to say anything more than this. Dear Father, I wish to become a good steward of the garden you have given me. Please bless my time of study and make it fruitful. Thank you, Lord. That's enough to have God send delightful showers upon your labors. The result will make you laugh with joy. You will see new life start to come forth in what used to be a barren wasteland. God promised to make the barren wilderness of Israel sprout and become like the garden of the Lord. And so he did after thousands of years of desolation. And you will have the same experience, even if your life has been desolate for many years, as you begin to plant the seeds of reading the Word of God, and you begin to water it with prayer, you'll find amazing fruit springing forth. You'll find joy springing up in your heart that you didn't know existed. You'll find new fulfillment and new meaning in your life. Any life, no matter how barren, how desolate, or how many years it's been barren, as we begin to read the Word of God and we begin to water it with prayer, our lives will begin to take on new dimensions, new joy, and new meaning. Next comes the difficult part. No matter how well you've worked up the ground and planted and watered, while we remain on earth, the curse of Adam is in force. That means that along with the good seed, we will also find weeds popping up prolifically. Weeds are a part of life. They can't be stopped. They can only be pulled. If they aren't taken out, they will eventually overcome the good seed and choke it out. What are the weeds in our lives? They are all the distractions and meaningless chatter and trivial thoughts that come to us unbidden, things we haven't sought out. They are sinful thoughts that crowd in upon us while we're trying to concentrate on reading and studying. They are the thousands of captivating things which try to get your attention off the job of seeking the Lord. The process of weeding is simply the process of discipline. The discipline is in two areas. The first is making sure you actually set aside the time to plant and water, meaning that you set aside time to read the Word and pray. Your enemy hates what you're doing. He is beside himself with frustration that you have actually cleaned up the garden that once belonged to him. And now that delicious godly fruit is coming up. Just like in Jesus' parable, we have an enemy who scatters weeds among our carefully planted crops, hoping to ruin everything. He will tempt you in every way to stop tending your garden, so it will naturally go back to a useless state. So discipline is mandatory for a good harvest, just like with farmers. The farmer who decides to stay in and watch TV while he should be tending his fields will have the fruit of his labor, nothing. He must be diligent to do the job at hand in spite of it sometimes being difficult or uncomfortable. We must likewise press on and do the job before us, studying to show ourselves approved, as it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, in spite of it being uncomfortable on occasion. The second area where weeding is so necessary is in our thought life. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That can seem like a daunting job, but it must be done. During the course of a day, our thoughts can take us away to some very ungodly places. They constantly wander. And have you ever noticed that they never wander to good things or uplifting things? Rather, our thoughts always go away from the things of God. That's the enemy's seeds being thrown into your garden. It may not have anything to do with you being sinful. The devil doesn't respect the fact that you're trying to mind your own business. What happens after he plants a weed seed, however, is very much our responsibility. We must take hold of our thoughts and bring them into subjection to God's word. That can take Herculean effort to begin with, because our thoughts are used to roaming around freely with no restraint. Before our minds are awakened, our random thoughts virtually run our lives. And, of course, since they gravitate to the lowest possible things, they take us with them. But we have a grave responsibility to put an end to that. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, says exactly what our job is. Renewing our mind means taking those wild, random thoughts and subjecting them to God. It may take more discipline than you or I have, but that doesn't excuse us. It means we have to earnestly seek God's help to clean up our thought life. This is truly the devil's battleground, and this is where he defeats so many Christians. Their thoughts run wild, they don't restrain them, and their thoughts run to the things that are evil and sinful, which is so easy because these are the things that fill our media, that are in our phones, all kinds of lustful and perverse things. So if we don't grab hold of our thoughts, if we don't take control of them and bring them into subjection, our minds and our hearts wander into some very, very dark places. Fortunately, we have another encouraging lesson from the diligent farmer. Over centuries of toil, he has found that the best way to fight weeds is to plant a lot of good seed. When he does that, he finds in many cases, things work in reverse. The good seed chokes out the weeds. So also in our lives, the best defense is a good offense. By constantly filling our minds with stimulating godly material, we can effectively cause the weeds of the world to be stunted. Over a short time, as we read more and more inspiring literature, as we read the Bible, we find that we are actually thinking about important things. Not only that, but the things that used to interest us will begin to seem stupid and senseless. God has really called us to a high place in Him. He has chosen us and called us to rule with Him. The crown prince of a kingdom may be a little child, just like all other little children, but he certainly isn't treated the same. Where others might spend their time in silly pastimes, the future ruler must be hard at his lessons. It might seem unfair to him while he's still very small, but when he reaches an age of understanding, he realizes that he has a special job which he must take seriously. In the same way, those who are heirs of Christ do not have the same leisure to idle away their hours with meaningless pastimes. They have a job. They have a high calling and a serious responsibility. So our position is different from those who might be around us. What is acceptable for them is not acceptable for us. God requires more of us because of the ultimate position He wants us to occupy. It has become our duty to tend our garden with all diligence, not only for our own sake, but also for those that God would have us to help. Now I'm going to talk about the doorway of difficulty. As with any form of art, music, or sports, there's a period of time when your new pursuit seems like it's all discipline and no fun. If you are training on an instrument, your fingers become raw and painful. If you are training for a particular sport, your muscles feel like they can't go another step. If you want to excel at dance or gymnastics, your body rebels against the hard treatment. So it is with the greatest of our gifts, our mind. Our mind operates just like a muscle. It rebels against anything that makes it uncomfortable. When we start to exercise it, there is a time when it puts up a mighty fight. It complains and acts as though it can't go any farther. Push it. Everything of value in this world must be entered through the doorway of difficulty. This, again, is one of God's laws. Anything of value must be earnestly striven for, and there will be a period of time where you will seriously be tempted to give up. This again is your old adversary hoping he can lure you back into complacency. Remember, his job is to make sure that you don't apply energy to any worthwhile area of your life. The couch potato is his ultimate triumph over God's glorious creation. In the case of a couch potato, he has managed to take those who are destined to a very high calling and reduce them to complete uselessness. He didn't have to use his skillful craft at all to accomplish it. All he had to do was feed the natural laziness of man. If it's hard, human nature tries to avoid it. He simply encourages that natural avoidance of anything difficult. We see this so clearly in children. They love to play, and if you suggest anything that looks remotely like work, they whine and protest. It's human nature. As those same children grow up, that's you and me, they are still faced with the same nature that hates difficulty. Those who are never trained out of that stage become the couch potatoes of the world. By our focus on the immediate pleasure of being comfortable, we sacrifice everything of value. Our brains corrode, our talents are left undiscovered, our usefulness to others vaporizes. The devil loves to encourage that sort of thing. If he can get us to do nothing, he automatically wins. He automatically triumphs over us. On the other hand, we have the wonderful laws of God. Those laws establish that diligent labor produces an abundant harvest. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit." God demands that we labor first and enjoy second. For those who persist through the doorway of difficulty, amazing things happen. If you are developing one of the talents God has given you, it will start to get easier. Suddenly, it will click, and in a short while, you'll find tremendous enjoyment in exercising your gift. And in addition to your own pleasure, you'll find that others are also given enjoyment. If your goal is to develop your ministry gifts, persist. If you can get past the point where you feel like you're a hopeless case, that your efforts are useless, you will suddenly find things start to fall into place. You will become useful, and it will become enjoyable. God blesses diligence. The doorway of difficulty is a test. Blast through it. It's the same with the use of our minds. If we can make it past the initial discouragement, we'll come into a new world of delights. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge." The initial discipline is the hurdle. Once we make it over that obstacle, learning becomes a great joy. Suddenly, we can't spend enough time reading and studying. There were many men and women of God in the past who reported in their journals that they would be up as early as 2 a.m. to study. For us today, that seems impossible. We wonder how they could have labored so hard. But you'll find from their diaries, their study was not a chore, it was their delight. They simply couldn't get enough of the tremendous intellectual joy which God granted for the diligent. They had long since passed through the doorway of difficulty. Learning was not a challenge for them. They enjoyed their times of study as modern man enjoys their Sunday sports events. The difference was their hearts and minds were enlarged and their usefulness increased. Though it might seem impossible for you right now, that same heritage is yours. The keen pleasures of the intellect were never meant for a select few. God gave good brains to all men and women. The only difference is in what we do with it. If we are faithful and diligent, we will also enter into pleasures of the mind which we never knew existed. And the sweetness of God is that it doesn't matter where you begin. He gives delight to children in storybooks. He gives delight to scholars in thick volumes. Wherever you fall between those two, God will give you incredible delights if you start to use the hardware of your mind. We look forward to joining with you again next lesson. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitfield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.